What you don't know can hurt you. Welcome to Hidden Agenda, brought to you today by Executive Properties. Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Aaron says Chris and his team did a spectacular job on the damage to my aunt's garage and siding. Kept us up to date on the progress, and the finished product was amazing. Thank you for your professionalism and hard work. Hey, get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273. All right, and if we do happen to get some snow, they're talking we still could. Call Executive Properties, too. They'll get rid of that snow for you one last time. If you have any questions or comments for myself, Paul, the producer, or David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, hey, feel free to call or text us. Our number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Let's do it. Let's get it out of the way. Here we go. Jokes my neighbor tells me. Here we go. I actually got a couple of them. It turns out a major study recently found out that humans eat more bananas than monkeys. I'm pretty sure it's true. I can't remember the last time I ate a monkey, so I don't know about that. Or how about this one? Do you ever think that drinking water through a straw is like the opposite of snorkeling? Well, it kind of is. I don't know. I do want to mention there's a fundraiser going to be tomorrow from 4:30 to 8:30 at the Pizza Ranch in Grand Forks. Now, this is for the Sons of the Legion, and the Legion Auxiliary. Again, Pizza Ranch tomorrow from 4:30. It starts at 4:30, okay? Okay, here we go. I'm going to go through my little, so what I call a monologue here. First off, thanks, Paul, the producer, for running the show last week. I went down and watched the eclipse. It was pretty darn cool. What the real weird thing about it was what the animals do, because it was sunshine, 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. And when it started getting dark and cold, the birds quit. The dogs laid down, didn't make a sound. It was eerie. I mean, it was weird. And then as it started getting brighter and warming up, things went back to normal. I actually talked to a cattle farmer. He said 90% of his herd were laying down during the eclipse down there. Bright sunshine, 80 degrees. Man, we had it. It was unbelievable. Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, disapproval rating at 56%. His approval rating dropped a percentage point down to 37. It was at 38% last week. Joe, by the way, made $620,000 in 2023, paid 23.7% in federal income tax. This $7.4 billion student debt cancellation, he's calling it a cancellation. Thanks for asking us what we think on that, Joe. And speaking of Joe, how about this? Just a couple of price changes since 2019. I like to do this once in a while. Orange juice, speaking of OJ, orange juice up 260% since 2019. Sugar up 120%. Beef 51%. Mayonnaise 50%. A loaf of bread is up 42%. Eggs are up 40%. Cereal is up 38%. How about that? In the news, of course, Iran attacking Israel. We'll talk about that. And this is something that happened to me. David and I were just talking about this before we got going. 17% of people who've gotten COVID develop post-active COVID-19 syndrome. That's what they're calling it. 17% of people who got COVID develop a thing called post-active COVID-19 syndrome, long COVID. Is what that stands for, long COVID. We were trying to figure it out. I was down watching the eclipse. I had quite a few drinks. I got sick. I thought maybe it was from that. The next day, two days later, completely deaf in my left ear, so I don't know if I had COVID. I've talked to two people that said that's what happened to them when they got it, so I don't know. Anyway, there I go. Can I ask a question? Let me see one more thing here. By the way, go to Rumble now, as we're going to leave Facebook and YouTube. All right, there we go. All right, David, yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just wondering, what side at the dinner table, or rather in the car, what side does your wife sit on? What side does she sleep on?
Put it this way, the ear I cannot hear out of was the wrong ear. Actually, she's a pretty quiet rider. So no, it's my left ear.
That's so weird.
But that's funny, because this is how it started. I'm laying in bed, it's pitch black, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I know she's on my left side, but she's talking to me, and I'm thinking she's on her, and I'm like, where are you? So I'm right here.
Wow.
Weird. I'm reaching because it's the floor then. I'm on the side of the bed. She goes, I'm over here, and tapped me. And it's like,
that's freaky.
Yeah. If I'm sitting in the one recliner in my house, if I'm watching the TV in the living room, it actually sounds like I'm watching the TV in the kitchen over here, because I can't hear it out of my left ear. It's driving me
nuts.
Isn't
that amazing? Yeah. The way that God made our ears in such an amazing way that they're directional and that they're stereo. Yes, stereo, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We've got stereo.
Sure.
And so, but yeah, to lose one, I'll pray for that, John. I'll pray for you.
I appreciate it.
That's a bad deal.
Yeah, it's driving me nuts.
And if it is caused by COVID, it's, as my friend in DHS is quick to remind me, it's not just a virus. It is a bioweapon. Mm-hmm. That's what it was designed to do harm. I've suffered from it. I mean, I used to think that's the one thing that I was wrong about this whole COVID thing. I thought, they're making a big deal. It's just a virus. It'll, you know, just like the flu. But it's not just like the flu, because thanks to Fauci, our tax dollars did go to make it a more dangerous virus. And it does damage. Yeah. It does brain damage. It does heart and lung damage. It does a lot of damage.
And then, you know, and then I read today about this long COVID, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I thought maybe once or twice before I'd maybe had COVID. Twice I went in and got checked. I didn't have it. The one time I'm pretty sure I had it, but I laugh at it. I'm like, big deal. I had a cold a month ago that was way worse than when I thought I had COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't shake it. You know, it just went on and on. The time I thought I had COVID, I was fine in 48 hours.
Yeah, right. So, but once you recover from that bad cold, you're back to normal again.
Yeah. Yep.
Unlike COVID, which the first time I had COVID, I was very sick for about half an hour. I mean, for half an hour, I thought, I think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what was going on. I could feel this weirdness mm-hmm. happening in my body. And then I kind of got past that and didn't die.
Yeah.
But the second time I got it, it really hit my brain. It took me over probably a year and a half to recover from that.
Wow.
So I could start remembering people's names and being able to read something and remember what I read. I thought, oh, great, I got my brain back. And then 2 months later, I got COVID again for the third time. And so I'm still struggling. So
what you're telling me is maybe it wasn't the 80s for me.
Maybe it wasn't the 80s, Larry. It could have been something else. So we're here with Larry and Ted.
Yeah.
And at least Larry, I can remember names again.
Yep.
Huh?
That's a joke.
Oh.
When I got it, I had it really bad. I mean, I could barely breathe.
Really?
Yeah. And me being the stubborn person that I am, I just sat there and sweated it out.
Yeah, complained, sweat.
Really?
That's what I'm good at.
You know, that's
and then I knew. And then I knew it was COVID later. Well, first off, because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I couldn't taste anything.
Wow.
See, that's never the taste part and smelling has never gotten to me. Although my wife says I can't smell anything. You don't smell that? Yes, they're always like, you smell that? I'm like, no, and I don't want to. If by the look on your face, you take a smell of that. Or, ooh, taste this.
You should have seen the look on the face of the girl that was serving me. I got some really spicy wings at the restaurant. And the bartender lady or whatever was like, how can you eat that stuff that's so spicy? I said, well, I can't taste anything.
It's the only time I can eat it.
You should have seen the look on her face.
No kidding. So not only did it prevent your ability to taste, you couldn't even sense the hot.
Oh, no. I didn't have COVID at that point. I was just making a joke to her.
Pull your mask aside. Wait a minute.
Right. That's hilarious.
No, it was really weird, though, because I like to drink wine with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was drinking wine and not being able to taste wine, it was really bizarre.
I bet that would be bizarre. Yeah, I didn't. When I had it the second time was when I lost not my whole taste sense of smell, but just a certain frequencies, certain smells I couldn't smell. I have a very, I really have a thing against burnt food, like the smell of, if you burn something on the stove, the toast gets stuck in the toaster and it starts burning. That really bugs me. I think it goes back to my childhood when something happened when I was a kid. But anyway, it really bothers me. And my wife knows that. And one day after I had COVID for the second time, I was working out in the dining room. I was at the table and writing something or reading something. And she came running up the stairs and she said, "I'm so sorry. I forgot I left that in the oven." And I said, "What?" And she looked at me and said, "You can't smell that?" And I said, "Smell what?" I couldn't smell smoke at all. And I, so she's opening the windows and I'm just like, I don't, but I could smell other things.
I heard it's really bad if you smell toast and your left arm hurts.
I don't know.
What does that mean, Paul?
Would they say if you're having a heart attack?
Really? I don't know. Is it your left arm, shoulder?
Yeah.
You're like somebody standing on your chest.
All of a sudden, they say that you smell burnt toast.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that means I'm immune because I didn't smell it even when there was real burnt toast. So, but here's the thing that I found interesting. I took a jar. I picked up a bottle of white vinegar, and you know how that smells.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a nasty fragrance. But I opened it up and I went, and it smelled like sweet apples to me. Wow, maybe it went bad. So I stuck it really close to my nose and took a whiff and, whew, no, it's not bad. It just burned like crazy, but it still smelled like sweet apples. So that only lasted a couple of days anyway. That's what.
By the way, vinegar tastes absolutely awful. I got this over at the country store over there.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called, nature store.
Yeah.
And. I had really bad acid indigestion, and they recommended me getting it was called like the Amish cure, like stomach something. Basically, it was just straight vinegar.
Yeah, okay.
And it's supposed to be good for your gut, but yeah. Oh my God, did it taste awful.
It was.
And apparently, these people drink it like just a little, you know, teaspoon of it every day.
Was it apple cider vinegar? Is that what it was?
No, it just tastes like straight up vinegar.
You mean it was like just regular white vinegar?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I've never heard. Apple cider vinegar is still strong, but I can't even imagine drinking just white vinegar. That would be very nasty.
Yeah. Apparently, it's good for your stomach, though.
So long COVID or post-active COVID-19 syndrome.
Yep.
And that is real.
17% of people who have. Verified having COVID or, you know, did have COVID, they say now 17% of people who got COVID developed this.
What is it? What are the symptoms? What does it do?
I didn't read that much into them. I was just trying to figure out my deafness.
Well, as I've been reading about it, and I've never heard deafness before. I've never heard that's actually can be caused by COVID or the vaccine. But we know that the primary damage that's done, whether you get COVID or whether you take the shot, and I still think that the shot is worse, the primary damage from COVID is from the spike protein.
Yep. Right?
That's what does all the damage. That's what's harmful. It can kill you at least 8 different ways, and I think that's probably closer to 27 or more.
Yeah.
But we know that there are like 8 organs that it attacks directly. And of course, the vaccine, as we've talked about many times before, maybe there's a new listener who doesn't know this, but the way that the shot works, the you get injected by the Pfizer or the Moderna shot, it's artificial messenger RNA. Mm-hmm. It is literally gene therapy, and what it does is it causes your cells to produce the spike protein. It tells your cells to produce just the spike protein, not all of COVID, just the spike protein. And the theory was back when it all first started was that All the spike protein does is it allows the ACE2 receptors in your cells to bring the COVID virus into the cell to begin replicating itself, because that's how viruses work, right? They use your cell's own manufacturing machinery to reproduce itself, because viruses can't reproduce on their own. They need your cells to copy them, and that's how they spread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what – now – What Fauci knew, what the people behind the pandemic knew about the spike protein, we don't know what they knew because they don't tell us anything and they lie. But we now know that the spike protein is the most dangerous part. I suspect that the people behind the whole thing knew that the spike protein was the most dangerous part, and that that's the reason. This is just conjecture on my part at this point, because we can't prove it. I suspect that they knew that the spike protein was going to do the damage that it did, and that's why they made the mRNA shot to cause your body to produce the spike protein, which then creates all these other harms. So we're finding out now, for example, I don't know the numbers from this study, but they did a study of 800,000 COVID patients and found that a significant number of them had cognitive decline, which was not just during their sickness, but after they recovered. Mm-hmm. And so those people would fall into the long COVID group as well, the post-active COVID-19 group, as a... And they labeled it long-term cognitive decline. They didn't. It wasn't, and I don't think that it was permanent, because I remember the day that I started feeling, wow, I feel better. But here's what we know now, that there's a mechanism that takes place. The spike protein is able to penetrate the blood-brain barrier and apparently does damage to the blood-brain. The blood-brain barrier is what protects your brain from pathogens. Mm-hmm. And so there's something that goes on with COVID that allows white blood cells to be dumped into the brain past the blood-brain barrier, and it creates inflammation is not good. It reduces oxygen travel to the brain, and so this is what causes the brain fog that so many people are talking about after they recover from COVID. They've got brain fog. You know, you've heard about that. So there are things that that can be done. They suggest, some of them are really simple, like exercise, because just doing exercise causes your circulation to improve, and you get more blood to the brain. That helps to eliminate the brain fog. Getting a really good night's sleep, something I rarely do, is also really important for your body to repair itself. And then I was going to bring it, and I can't remember it. I used to have a really good mind for this kind of thing, but there's a nutrient that really tremendously enhances brain health and brain function, neuron function, I'll try to bring the bottle once we get it. It hasn't shown up yet. Maybe it'll come today. In fact, that's probably what was at the door when I went to leave to come to the studio this morning. There was a little box sitting there. That's probably what it was. I should have brought it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I'll have more on that. I'll have more on that later. But the main thing is that there are an increasing number of doctors who are beginning to recognize that, yeah, the shot, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Others are still choosing to remain in the dark and say, no, it was a good thing. We did what we could. No, you don't inject people with something that's never been tested before.
No.
I mean, come on.
If it's a vaccine, why do you have to keep going back and getting more? You know?
If it works, yeah.
They didn't have to do that with smallpox or measles. You know, it's you get one shot, one and done.
Yeah. Right. But if it doesn't work, or if it doesn't kill enough people the first time, then you have to have you come back.
Right. Come back for seconds.
And that actually is true. They know that the more boosters you have, the greater your risk of getting myocarditis, pericarditis, the turbo cancers that are
you know, that's a new term. The hospitals can make more money.
And they can make more money. And Big Pharma can make more money.
Yep.
And, you know, we've talked on this show before about capture. Capture is when an agency or an organization becomes beholden to the very people who they're supposed to be exercising oversight over. So, like, if your job was to watch Paul, let's say Paul's an ex-con and he's out on parole or whatever, and you're his parole officer, and you're supposed to make sure he doesn't go anywhere near the cookie jar. And he says, hey, John, tell you what, if you'll just take a really long lunch break, I'll pay for your lunch. Here's $500. Go to lunch. Have a good time. And you say, got it, Paul. Let me know. When do you want me to come back? Right? He would have captured you at that point, because you're supposed to be watching him, But instead, he's paying you to look the other way during a period of time so he can do whatever he wants, right? That's exactly what's happened with the news agencies and Big Pharma. They've been captured by Big Pharma, and they've been captured by Big Pharma for a very, very, very long time. More than half the revenue to news agencies comes from Big Pharma. Certainly at specific times of the year. I can't give you exact figures because I haven't checked to see what today's figures are, but I know that during specific times, like during election cycles, up to 70% or more of advertising revenue going to the news agencies comes from Big Pharma.
There shouldn't be a marketing team for a drug.
Yeah, well, so the question that I've asked for years, okay, you said there shouldn't be a marketing team for a drug. People need to market their stuff, but they should market it to the end user. Who's the end user of a drug? I mean, from the drugs, okay, look, if it's a prescription drug, can you go out and buy it?
No.
So you're not you may be the end user, but you're not the purchaser.
Right, right.
Things need to be marketed to the person who's going to purchase them, right?
Yep.
You're not going to purchase Ozempic, right? Because you can't. I think that's still, I
see commercials about it.
I think that's still, I think you still need a prescription for that, don't you?
I think you do.
Well, here's something that I guess I'm kind of curious about because, you know, they say, you know, when they had like Chantix out or whatever, but at the, you know, you see all these like ads for these different medications or whatever it is. And then at the end, they have the disclaimer, may cause, you know, heart failure, liver cancer, death, you know.
If you go blind and deaf, call your doctor immediately.
So
how do you do that?
So how does like Pfizer get away with just the news brought to you by Pfizer? And well, there's no disclaimer.
That's Oh, I see. Like the news brought to you by Pfizer may cause censorship of certain news items that they're not going to tell you because we're paying for it. No, that's exactly right. And that's my point. So you're not the one that's purchasing these drugs that must be obtained through a prescription from a doctor. And as we've mentioned on the show before, the reason that you can't buy the drug that's prescribed by the doctor is if the doctor can prescribe the drug and then sell you the drug, that's called conflict of interest.
Right.
Because then he can prescribe what makes him the most money. So the medical industry recognized that decades, 100 years ago or more, and they separated those two out and they said, If you're going to prescribe it, the patient is going to have to go buy it from someone else. That's why we have doctors and we have pharmacists.
Yeah.
Pharmacists can't prescribe drugs. Doctors can't sell drugs. So the guy that sells it can't prescribe it. The guy that prescribes it can't sell it. That's great. That then you remove effectively, for the most part, that conflict of interest of prescribing something just to pad your own pocket. But when it comes to So who buys the prescription drugs? Who buys them? Well, it's the pharmacist that buys them. Who prescribes them? The doctor does. So who should the drug companies be marketing their message to about this new drug? We've got the new dog drug. Who should they be marketing to?
The doctors.
The doctors, because the doctors prescribe them.
Otherwise, you got people coming in, especially hypochondriacs or whatever, you know, well, doc, I've been looking at the TV commercials, and I think I should probably try this, or I should probably try that.
Yeah.
And those doctors are just thinking to themselves, cha-ching, cha-ching.
So, but except that the doctors can't make money by prescribing drugs unless they're getting money under the table from the drug company. But legally, they can't make money from prescribing a drug. They can only make money because you came to see them and get diagnosed for your illness, whatever it is. So the question is, since you can't just go buy the drug by yourself on your own, and the doctor can't sell it to you, why is it that for years, I thought this was a joke. I didn't really put two and two together. I thought, why is it that I see all these drug commercials where at the end of the commercial, they say, ask your doctor if blank is right for you? I thought, what? Are you serious? I was actually going to make a list of all these different drugs that are advertised on TV and go in the next doctor's appointment and say, hey, doc, is Ozempic right for me? Is Stanza right for me? Is blah, blah, blah right for me? I was just going to ask him as a joke just to see what he would say. But the point is, nobody does that. Nobody goes and says to their doctor, hey, doc, I've got this ear infection. Is Pro-Ear right for me? Or is, you know,
Pro-Ear?
They don't do that. Because that's the doctor's job.
Sure,
that's
sure.
Why you go to a doctor.
Yep.
So the question remains, why is it that these big pharmaceutical companies are spending, and it's billions, billions of dollars every year to say to the potential patient, ask your doctor if such and such is right for you? Why would they do that since they know that's never going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only one explanation for that. And the only explanation that I have is that money goes, the money that they buy the ad with goes to who? It goes to the broadcast company. And if the broadcast company is also a news agency who's supposed to be,
right,
who's supposed to be open to the truth,
neutral,
and reporting the truth, yeah, and neutral on every issue, all of a sudden they have a major income stream from a company that may be doing bad stuff. How do they remain neutral? They don't. In other words, all these commercials are, it's payola.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
right,
it is.
Right, right.
It's paying off the news agencies to not report on their product. And that's exactly, and it works.
Yeah.
Look at COVID. Look at everything that we went through. Who promoted, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. It was the news agencies.
Yeah.
More right, than anyone.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So, maybe we should be a good time to take a little break.
What do you think?
Hey, you know, graduation is right around the corner, folks. You're looking for that graduation cake or maybe some cupcakes. Old for Heaven's Cakes. Nothing better than Old for Heaven's Cakes. Homemade baked goods. Best cupcakes or cakes, doesn't matter. Maybe you got a special occasion like graduation. Maybe you just want a treat. Maybe you want to treat your employees to something good. Check them out, Over Heaven's Cakes, north backside of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesdays through Fridays from 10 to 4. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to noon. Call them up if you're looking for that graduation goodies, 701-757-CAKE. You can email them, overheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Hey, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Over Heaven's Cakes, right here, Grand Cities Mall. What you don't know can hurt you. Welcome back to Hidden Agenda. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, myself, John Roberts, and Paul, the producer, in the show today. Thank you all for joining us. You know, it's funny how we have a title on the show, then we get sidetracked, and then we try to get back to it, and we go, "Ooh, boy, we might have to come back next." But it's been a couple of weeks since we've been together, so
yes,
it's good to get caught up.
Yeah, so. It is good. So what you don't know can hurt you. You know, the old expression mm-hmm. is what you don't know can't hurt you,
yep.
But no, it actually can hurt you.
Absolutely.
And so there are things, and I do want to talk about the attack on Israel from Iran. Because that's a significant thing.
It is.
The fact that what you don't know can hurt you is true in many, many areas of our lives. It's certainly true in regard to, like we were just talking about COVID and the COVID vaccine. A lot of people didn't know that the COVID vaccine wasn't a vaccine. It wasn't a vaccine. It doesn't work like a vaccine. It was gene therapy.
Yep, yep.
There were no clinical trials done on it. There were some very short-term trials with animals early on. The animals died once they were re-exposed. I mean, there were vaccine experts like Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, who actually had worked for Gavi, which is Bill yeah. Gates' vaccine, you know, organization making, designing vaccines. Here at Vandenbosch, he's not an anti-vaxxer at all. He believes in vaccines.
Yeah.
And yet in late 2020, he was urging, and into 2021, he was urging health ministries all over the world to stop this push and to actually not give the COVID vaccine to anyone until further studies had been done, because his analysis demonstrated that, I mean, his research demonstrated, and his final analysis was, the harm that this could do, that this mRNA could do, could be way worse than the actual virus itself. And he predicted many, many deaths coming as a result of it. And there have been many deaths. But as we said on the show 3 years ago, if you die from lung cancer and he dies from colorectal cancer and she dies from pericarditis and he dies from something else, the doctors are going to be going, well, it can't be all the same thing. I mean, they're all dying from different stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a brilliant move. You get a pathogen that's able to cause death from multiple different sources, multiple different causes. And it just makes it that much harder for the doctors who really don't do their own research to kind of put the pieces together.
Right.
It takes years. It would take years for that to happen, which is something that we said multiple times on this show 3 years ago. And that's exactly the way that it's shaking out right now. This is the Epoch Times. Colorectal cancer is striking young people and some new exposures may be fueling it. Used to be something that you didn't have to even think about until you were older. Young people are now getting cancer at an alarming rate. Yeah, and it's not just colorectal cancer. It's all kinds of different cancers. Yeah. But what's interesting is that when you draw a line between the people that the young people who got the COVID vaccine and then later got cancer, the correlation is undeniable. I mean, the connection is undeniable because, as we said on the show 3 years ago, it can actually increase cancer. It can actually cause your body to fuel and stimulate cancer growth instead of retarding cancer growth, which is the way that our bodies are designed to work in the first place. So I talked about the, well, let's get back to this in a minute. Okay. I'll just read a quick thing from 2000 to 2020, the incidence rate of colorectal cancer decreased by nearly half. However, among young people, people younger than 50, it actually increased. So you'd say, well, that's 2000 to 2020, that's not related to the vaccine because the vaccine didn't come out till 2021. That's true. However, the fact that it was going up, that it was rising already, and now we introduce the COVID vaccine, which some of us know, not everybody knows, has caused this thing called turbo cancers.
Yeah.
What can we expect to happen for young people who got the vaccine, who are then exposed to all these other things that are causing this increase in colorectal cancer, which is one of the deadliest cancers in the world?
Yeah.
If you catch it early enough, it's very treatable through surgery. But if you don't, it's almost always deadly.
Yeah.
Let me see. What is the... I just want to get you the number of... Here we go. In just 20 years, from 2002 to 2020, the incidence rate of colorectal cancer decreased by half. But among people younger than 50, the rate rose to more than 8 per 100,000. It was 6 per 100,000. Now it's 8 per 100,000. From 6 to 8, that's a 30% increase. That's significant. And the mortality rate is, over the past 2 decades, incidence of early onset 1%, 2% per year, while mortality rates have also increased by 1% per year, according to a 2024 American Cancer Society report. Today, colorectal cancer is the leading cause of cancer death in men younger than 50.
Wow.
The leading cause in men younger than 50, and it ranks second only to breast cancer in women younger than 50.
Mm.
So what's causing this? What's causing this problem? There are multiple things. One of them is exposure to... Okay, so in a nutshell, the idea that cancer is caused by cells mutating and mutagenic transformations within cells that go on, that are, some of them are believed to be hereditary. That prevailing theory is beginning to be really strongly challenged by new evidence that indicates that it's actually inflammation of the cells that leads to cancer. In fact, from my reading of the scientific and medical literature, inflammation precedes every case of cancer. When your cells are inflamed chronically, that's a very bad thing. I had a doctor tell me 30 years ago, he said, if you just rub your arm and you just do this, that area will become inflamed. And if you keep doing it, you keep irritating, you keep that inflammation going, he said, it's just a matter of time before you're going to get cancer there. This was 30 years ago that this doctor said this to me. And now we're seeing more and more evidence that that's true. So the question on our minds, without getting too deep into the weeds about how that all works at a cellular level, is, well, if inflammation is bad, chronic inflammation, inflammation itself serves a purpose in the short term when you have an injury. But if it goes on, if it continues, then it becomes very harmful, like a lot of things. You know, bleeding. You cut yourself. Bleeding is helpful for a number of reasons initially, because it tells you you've got a problem. There's bright red stuff coming out of your body. And second, there's a certain amount of washing away of dirt and pathogens and things like that. And so, but at some point, you want the bleeding to stop, which is why God gave us the ability for our blood to clot. So the blood clots and the bleeding stops. But if the bleeding continues, what was a good thing initially will eventually kill you.
Yeah.
Same thing with inflammation. So the simplest question should be, well, what causes inflammation and how can we avoid those things that cause inflammation? Make sense?
Yep.
Or more importantly, what causes chronic inflammation? And chronic inflammation is caused by a lot of different things in our culture today. Unfortunately, one of them is things like processed food, things like toxins, like mercury or lead. Lead was removed from paint decades ago because it was found to be toxic, and kids were eating it. Aluminum is a toxin. Aluminum is a heavy metal that's very toxic.
Yep.
In fact, Dr. Russell Blaylock, one of my heroes in the medical world, this is the latest issue of the Blaylock Wellness Report, April 2024. Aluminum endangers your brain health.
I'll have to stop eating aluminum.
Yeah. Stop eating aluminum. I noticed that you ran out of aluminum foil in the back because Paul loves to chew.
The salt.
Jeez, he loves to chew on a wad of aluminum all day long.
There you go.
So the problem is that aluminum is found in a lot of things, including vaccines. Aluminum is one of the adjuvants that's used in vaccines. Why are we injecting these babies? Babies who come out of the womb and they're pure, undefiled. I mean, as long as they're not crack babies, they should be the healthiest human beings on earth, right? They're babies. They've been protected for 9 months in the mother's womb, and they come out. And what's the first thing we want to do is jab them full of toxins.
Yep.
I mean, does this make sense in by any standard at all?
RFK brought up this point, and you know, if you think about it, because he's talking about, obviously people think he's like a anti-vaxxer, which he says he's not. He just thinks that there's too many of them out there and things along those lines. But he brought up a good point of saying, how many autistic kids do you see now? Yeah. And then how many, so he's asking somebody that's, say your age, how many autistic people do we know that are your age compared to
today?
Compared to my generation, how many autistic adults am I going to see?
Yeah.
So there's clearly a reason for this huge spike in autism.
So you want the leftist response to that? Oh, autism's always been, it's always been big. It's just that we didn't recognize it before for autism.
Yeah, that's all. Just thought you were dumb.
You're probably autistic and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lame response. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's a really stupid response, but that's the response to everything.
Sure.
Did you know cancer rates have been increasing over the last 30 years? Oh, no, that's always been that much cancer. We just didn't know what it was before.
Yeah.
Okay, wrong.
There's a lot of things going on right now that people don't seem to know. It's like, even like at the monologue, how do you know, how can you not know sugar went up by 240%? I mean, come on, folks. How, there's things you have to know.
If you look at the prices, unless you're rich, you're Bill Gates, who cares how much sugar goes up?
Yeah, you have somebody do your shopping for you. We don't get that.
I know I recognized it when we had to do our Halloween party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So the way to do it now is to buy the candy once it goes on sale and then save it for next year.
Well, the way to do it now is just close the door, shut the curtains, and go home.
So aluminum, I said aluminum is used as an adjuvant in vaccines, and it is. And the adjuvant is a toxin that's put into the vaccine intentionally to create a greater response from the immune system. That's the purpose of an adjuvant. And aluminum is one of them. And the theory is that it's not going to hurt you. Or else they know it's going to hurt you and they just don't care.
Yeah.
But they keep putting aluminum as an adjuvant in vaccines that they're giving to babies. And we know that aluminum, if you're willing to look, we know that aluminum is a toxin. Dr. Blaylock, who I think is a brilliant doctor. I mean, Dr. Blaylock practiced neurosurgery for decades. I mean, he was a neurosurgeon. He was literally a brain doctor.
Yep.
He's a guy that knows how to go and cut into your brain and fix stuff and then put it back together again. You can't graduate in the lower part of your class and do that.
Yeah, no.
Well, you can if you're with DEI.
Now you can.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because we want equity, right, in medicine. So one of the things that he points out is that older people are concerned about developing neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and ALS. And they've all increased dramatically worldwide in recent decades. Increased dramatically. Your point about the increase in autism. We should ask this question. We are more advanced medically and scientifically than at any point in human history. Is that a fair statement?
I would think so.
I mean, we know your wife is a scientist.
Yeah.
Don't we know more about how the world works than we ever have in the history of the world?
Should. Depends on who you ask, I guess. But yeah, right.
But I mean, look at the technology that we've developed, right? Mm-hmm. So we know more about science. We know more about biology. We know more about the human body. And we have more technology and more ways of dealing with different problems. Shouldn't we be the healthiest generation ever in the history of the world?
Yeah, we should be.
But instead, we're the sickest generation.
Yeah. Well, we're all obese. We're all heavy. We're all overweight. And
over 50% of America's children, over 50% of America's school-aged children have a chronic disease.
Yeah.
More than 50%, John, have a chronic disease.
It's because kids don't go outside and eat dirt and worms and bugs and play and have natural immunity anymore. They're stuck inside and they're getting jabbed and vaxxed.
And they're getting jabbed and vaxxed and they're eating processed foods.
Corn syrup.
Their parents are putting fluoridated toothpaste on their toothbrush when they brush their teeth. Yeah, you know what? You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
I did that. I was told by the dentist, your kids need to have good fluoride toothpaste. So we bought fluoride toothpaste. It was kids' toothpaste with fluoride. You know, fluoride is one of the most toxic substances on the face of the planet.
Yeah, it is
one of the most toxic substances on planet Earth. In fact, it's so toxic. If you dump fluoride into a waterway, you can go to jail.
Yeah.
There are massive fines for dumping fluoride into a waterway, into a lake, into a stream. There are big fines for dumping fluoride on the ground, on the dirt. You can't just pour it out on the dirt. There are big fines for releasing it into the atmosphere because it's so toxic.
Another one out there, too.
So I've got an idea. Let's take this toxic substance, fluoride. Let's put it in our drinking water and in our toothpaste.
Yeah.
Is that brilliant or what?
Something you got to have every day.
So cockroaches are very resilient. I heard that they could actually survive like a nuclear.
Yeah.
They can live without a head for like weeks.
But there's one thing that kills them right away. And I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. I'm drawing a blank on it. But it's in Diet Pop.
Aspartame?
Aspartame. Aspartame will kill a cockroach. Right? Dead on point.
Wow.
Wow.
So.
because it's diet. It says diet, so it's good for you.
Yeah.
Right? Funny that you would mention
I see so many skinny people drinking Diet Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that? How does that work?
Remember when Tab first came out? Yeah, hey, way to go. What's that, your 40th can today?
So, Paul,
it's just so funny. I'm on a diet. Oh, what do you do for that? I drink pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Diet pop.
I drink diet pop.
So here's in the Blaylock Wellness Report, which, by the way, I strongly recommend. If you don't subscribe to this report, it's published by Newsmax.
Wait, maybe it's supposed. Maybe they just they wouldn't like fit on the can like you were talking about. Like
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the diet. The disclaimer. It's supposed to be diabetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's just die.
There you go.
So, a study recently found that the nervous system is not all that's damaged by consuming artificial sweeteners, specifically aspartame. And this is in the Blaylock Report. Again, you can get this by going to Newsmax.com or Google Blaylock Wellness Report. And you can subscribe. This is like $55 a year. It comes to your mailbox once a month. And Dr. Blaylock is always up to date on the latest thing that's going on. He's very, very sharp. He is not bought and paid for by Big Pharma or anybody. Mm-hmm. He literally reports on studies that are published around the world, good, solid nutritional and scientific studies published around the world. And he reports on them in his report. in fact, every time I get this report, there are always like three or four pages of ads for different things, different nutritional supplements and things like that, but they're not made by him. He doesn't. I just to give you an. You were talking about why aren't there disclaimers on the news or on the ads for Big Pharma stuff on the news when they sponsor the news? Listen to this. This published in every single Blaylock Wellness Report. A note from Dr. Blaylock. I guarantee he said in his contract with Newsmax. I'm going to put this on every single report that I publish or that you publish from me. A note from Dr. Blaylock. Advertisements for various supplements may appear in the newsletter or attached to the newsletter. I have nothing to do with these advertisements and do not endorse them. The only supplements that I endorse are those that I list in the newsletter. Do you get the gravity of that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting, Newsmax is getting advertising revenue from supplements that they include with the Blaylock newsletter. And he says right in the newsletter, I don't endorse them.
Right, right.
They're not, I didn't put them there. Yep. I don't endorse them. He goes on to say, I'm not to say that I object to these supplements. It's just that I'm not familiar with the supplements being advertised.
Sure, sure.
So that's it. He then goes on to say, please note this advice is generic, not specific to any individual. You should consult your doctor before undertaking a medical or nutritional course of action, which, of course, he has to say so that somebody is, oh, when I took that plant extract and then it made me grow another ear out of the back of my head, and now I'm, he could have given it to you, and now I'm suing or whatever. But they, so here's the, here's in this, and I know you didn't know this, Paul, when he brought up the aspartame thing, peripheral nerves are also severely damaged by aspartame. In this study, researchers fed rats aspartame for 3 months before examining the microscopic tissues of the animal's sciatic nerve. That's a large nerve that goes down the leg. If you have sciatic,
very familiar with it.
You're very familiar.
Yep. Yep.
The psychotic nerve.
Yeah, could that too. Yep.
In addition, after the animals were given 4 weeks off the aspartame to recover, researchers saw only partial healing after 4 weeks of not having any aspartame. This would be especially important in diabetics who have a high incidence of peripheral nerve damage and are some of the most common users of aspartame. The sweetener could make their peripheral nerve damage worse and less likely to improve. Combining food additive excitotoxins with artificial sweeteners would make the results even worse. A food additive excitotoxin is like monosodium glutamate, MSG,
yep.
flavor enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the companies that make or the company that makes MSG in America or that sells it in America, and they sell literally tons of it. I mean, literally tons of it every year.
It's in almost everything.
It's in a lot. Doritos.
Yeah, because my wife can't have it.
Oh, so she's got it right.
Very sick.
Yeah. My mother used to get these headaches, weird pressure headaches from it.
Major headaches.
Yeah, a lot of Chinese food has it.
Yeah, she's been in the ER before. Morphine. They're that bad.
Wow.
I wonder if that's because my mother-in-law and my wife, they're always talking about red dye in food.
Red dye. A lot of people are very sensitive to red dye. Mm-hmm. I think it's red dye number 40. Yeah. I think it's also toxic. And some people are more sensitive to it than others, which is just, let me make this point. We're all different.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Well, if I started smoking cigarettes, I could get cancer in 3 years.
Yep.
Right? If someone else can smoke cigarettes their entire life
three
and die
a day for 50 years
and die at the age of 90.
Yep.
That doesn't mean cigarette smoking is safe.
Right.
Just because one guy can do it and get away with it.
Scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wake up for bacon.
Yeah.
When I go to sleep, I eat bacon.
I wrap bacon around my cigarette.
All these people that tell me that bacon's going to kill me, I keep watching them all die. <You know?
Jeez. laughs> Yeah. Everything's better with bacon and butter.
And I was going to say, too, because I don't know the validity of it, but... somebody posted a picture of like a cereal box from the U.S. compared to a cereal box from, say, like the U.K.
Yeah.
And the ingredient list on it, it's like one third of the crap that's in the USA made one.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, well, maybe they just didn't put it on the box.
Yeah. You know, but. No, I think that they're actually, the U.K. and Europe has much stricter requirements for food and food additives than we do in the U.S. because the lobbies are so strong. Right? The lobbies for big pharma and big food are very strong in the U.S. Dr. Blalock pointed out that a while ago, the company that makes MSG, which is short for monosodium glutamate, lobbied the regulators to be able to list MSG, which does occur naturally in certain seaweeds. MSG is a fact can be extracted from seaweed because certain seaweeds have such a high level of MSG.
Mm-hmm.
They lobbied to be able to list MSG as a natural flavor. So if you buy a bunch of potato chips and it's, oh, this is my favorite, these are ranch, I love them. And you read the ingredients, somebody says, is there any bad stuff? And they say, soybean oil, canola oil, potatoes, blah, 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 natural flavor. Oh, it's all good. No.
No.
Natural flavor might just mean monosodium glutamate. Mm-hmm. And so that's an excitotoxin. And so Dr. Blalock's point here is combining food additive excitotoxins, a.k.a. MSG, with artificial sweeteners, a.k.a. aspartame, would make the results even worse. So
you
plop down in front of your TV with a bag of Doritos, the ranch-flavored Doritos, and you're sipping on your aspartame sweetened
diet tab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're doing severe damage to your body, to your nerves in particular. Unfortunately, many human studies do not take into consideration that many people are also consuming large amounts of food excitotoxins while at the same time using aspartame. Dr. Blalock wrote a book years ago called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And he goes into it in detail. Dizziness, loss of balance, and vertigo are common complaints from consuming too much aspartame. An interesting clinical report told of two people, a brother and a sister. They both developed severe vertigo and hearing loss. Hearing loss. Did you hear that, John?
Nope. What?
Yeah. After consuming drinks sweetened with aspartame. One of the subjects drank Diet Crystal Light, an aspartame-sweetened beverage that's been associated with severe reactions. Now, that used to be just lemonade, but don't they make... isn't there a... I don't drink it. Is Crystal Light also a tea? Do they make tea?
They might. I know they make a lemonade and they make like a raspberry
thing. But is it raspberry tea? Because that's why I asked you what kind of tea you drink.
Yeah, there's many different kinds of teas now. I mean, okay. It's like vodka. There used to be vodka. Now there's 20 different kinds, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. Okay. Truthfully, that wasn't the reason. The reason I asked you what kind of tea you drink is because I know that one of the things that they add to, they add a lot of things to canned teas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one of the things that they add is a lot of acid because it keeps it staying fresh longer.
Yeah, and my tea is not the healthiest. I mean, it's got sugar. It's got a little bit of caffeine. But I was such an avid, diehard diet soda drinker for so many years that I try not to drink any soda at all anymore because I used to just drink way too much. But I don't drink coffee or any of that kind of stuff. So,
have you ever had Zevia?
I don't think
they make different flavors, root beer, cherry, cola, but it's sweetened with stevia instead of sugar or aspartame or NutraSweet. So, or not NutraSweet, same as stevia as aspartame. What's the other one? Sucralose.
Sure.
And it's good. I mean, it's a different flavor, but so is tea. So, you might just try it. I'm not doing an ad for them. So here's what happened. These two different, a brother and sister, consumed Diet Crystal Light. One of them drank Diet Crystal Light. And the sister developed vertigo, ataxia, which is loss of muscle coordination. You look like you're drunk. You can't balance.
Yep.
Nausea and vomiting, all of which subsided once she stopped her intake of aspartame-sweetened products. She remained symptom-free for 22 years. Her brother, who is a physician, developed very similar symptoms right after he started drinking diet colas. So there seems to be a perhaps genetic component in how sensitive certain people are to the results of aspartame, which is toxic. But the point is, it'll kill a cockroach. Why would you want to drink it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it kills a thing that's like unkillable.
Yeah.
Give me one.
So, So let me just wrap this up. Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's. For years, they said that the cause of Parkinson's disease was the buildup of amyloid plaques in the brain and in the certain part of the brain. Now they're saying, you know what? That doesn't actually look. That looks like that may be a result of something else happening, and it looks like the cause is the buildup of aluminum in the brain. And so, if you're getting aluminum in your food, if you're getting it in your cookware, if you're getting it in your injections, lots of different ways to get it. I think probably the best way to really build up aluminum in your body is to just inject it, just shoot it straight into your bloodstream, because aluminum doesn't. According to Dr. Blaylock, and I trust him, I've been reading his newsletter for over 12 years. It's probably close to 15 years. your body has a difficult time absorbing aluminum from the gut. It can over time, over a long period of time, but it absorbs slowly. But nano aluminum is absorbed much more quickly. Dr. Blaylock points out that they're now spraying nano aluminum into the atmosphere. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Well, ask Joe Biden. By the way, you said that the animals all laid down during thing, and I thought, I bet Biden did the same thing.
Sure.
When the eclipse happened.
Huh?
It's bedtime.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Somebody had to change his diaper.
Yeah.
So where was I? John, where was I?
I
threw myself off with the comment about the cows and Biden laying down. Aluminum is being sprayed into the atmosphere. Many people believe, and I think that Dr. Blaylock is one of them, and I've heard about this for years. In fact, there's a movie, it's a documentary called What in the World Are They Spraying? Have you heard of that movie?
No, I haven't.
What in the World Are They Spraying? Came out about 10 or 12 years ago. And they propose that some branch of the U.S. government has been spraying aluminum nanoparticles and other toxins into the atmosphere for decades. that's been going on for a long time. I shouldn't say for decades. It's been at least a decade now since it started, because this movie that I'm talking about, What in the World Were They Spraying, is at least 10 years old. And you go, well, that's just conjecture. Except that they have footage that they shot inside a science, some symposium. I don't remember where it was because it's been years since I watched the movie. Where you have people standing up, scientists standing at a podium saying, you know, we think that maybe a good way to stop global warming is to spray these nanoparticles of aluminum into the atmosphere to reflect back the sun's light and the heat that comes from the sun. We can reflect that back. They actually suggested Joe Biden has actually said openly that he believes in this idea of spraying, it's called solar geoengineering, spraying particles into the atmosphere to reflect back mm-hmm. the sun's light. And they would be particles of nanoaluminum. Because why? Why would they pick nanoaluminum? Well, it's lightweight, so it should remain suspended for a longer period than other shiny metals. If they're doing that, and what was the thing that you were saying about Disney?
And the, no, that and was me.
Chemtrails?
Yeah, supposedly Disney paid some artists or something or producers a lot of money to...
Based on a text you got.
Yeah, to paint chemtrails on old movies so they can try to brainwash people to think that they've been there forever.
Okay, so we don't... So at this point, John, we can say that's conjecture, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know... You got a text saying that. And so what? Can you define what a chemtrail is?
Well, that's what you get out of the back of a jet.
Okay, so what's a... I thought that was a contrail. What's a contrail? Oh, well,
maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, there's a difference. A contrail stands for condensation trail, and it refers to what happens when planes flying at high altitude disturb the water vapor that's in that particular space, and by disturbing it, it actually forms ice crystals. Okay, and the ice crystals look like white smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's called. I grew up on air. My father was a pilot in the Air Force, and so I grew up on air bases, and I saw it all the time. And my father explained to me that those are contrails. It's a condensation trail when the water vapor turns into ice crystals, and then the sun, it's there, and so the sun just thaws them out again, and they become water vapor again. So contrails last for maybe 30 to 60 seconds, and they're gone. They show up and then they fade away. But in the last several years, probably the last 10 years, you see all these planes flying with contrails that not only don't go away, they seem to get bigger. They expand and become larger, and they turn into like clouds, and then after a while the whole sky is gray. And you see them crisscrossing across the sky. Now, if we can bring a meteorologist in here to explain that there's a way for that to naturally occur, I would love to hear that. In fact, I would welcome you can come on this show anytime if you're a meteorologist and you want to explain how that might work. But even if it does work like that, I don't think that that's always the answer because in this movie, What in the World Were They Spraying, they interviewed a fellow that bought some land in, I believe it was in Colorado. And it was beautifully bought. This large patch of land has beautiful trees everywhere, a lake. All of a sudden, that fish in his lake are dying. And all of a sudden, all the pine trees around are dying. And other trees are dying. He's going, what in the world's going on? I've lived here for so many years. And now all of a sudden, all this death from the habitat. And so he hired someone to come in and test the soil and test the water. And guess what they found? High concentrations of aluminum.
Aluminum. Mm-hmm.
And they said, there's no aluminum. Well, it probably came from pollution. Well, there's no aluminum manufacturing plants for hundreds of miles.
Yeah, yep.
Well, and so they got the official answer. It probably comes from China. Yeah. Blows no across the ocean and then deposits itself right on his land. No, I don't think so. But he also noticed that when he looked up, unlike when he first bought that property, he sees all these trails in the sky caused by planes flying at very high altitudes that remain there all day long. chemtrails.
Yep.
So the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail is that contrail is water vapor that turns to ice crystals and then turns back to water vapor. A chemtrail is a chemical that's sprayed.
Right, right.
So when you take that idea and you then go to the Biden administration saying, yeah, we believe we should be spraying things into the atmosphere to reflect back the sun's rays so we stop global warming. Okay, number one, man-made global warming it's not just a myth. It's a very, very dangerous and deadly lie that's been told to the American people in the world for now, 15 years?
Yeah.
But it's a great excuse to poison people by spraying nano-aluminum into the atmosphere. And that's exactly, I think, what's been happening. So you get kids that their mom cooks their meal in a aluminum pan. They get aluminum injected into their arms when they're babies and into their childhood as they're going all the way up through school in the form of adjuvants and the vaccines that they're getting. And then they go outside to play on that rare occasion, and they breathe in the nano-aluminum that eventually falls to the earth from the sky that's being sprayed into the atmosphere. Do you think aluminum might be a problem in our country?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it causes all kinds, and I can go more into the damage caused by aluminum on another show. But we're out of time. I just want to briefly make one point. We've all heard about you mentioned this, Paul, the attack on Israel by who? By Hamas in Gaza?
No.
By Iran. Why is Iran the state sponsor of the largest terrorist activity in the world? Why is Iran now attacking Israel?
They want an ass kicking.
Because
it's like they don't learn.
They don't learn.
No.
Right. So Israel took out 7 military leaders. Yep. We'll call them military leaders. I'd probably say terrorists is a better term. At an embassy in Syria back on April 1st, right?
Yep.
I think it was April 1st. They took out these 7 military guys. And Iran says, that was Iranian soil, because it is technically an embassy is the soil of the country that it represents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the American embassy in Russia. If you walk into that embassy, you are technically on American soil.
Sure.
Even though it's in Russia. That's how embassies work, right? Yep. They are the soil of the country that they represent. So they're in Syria, Israel killed these 7 military guys, what I would call terrorists. And so here's Israel's response to that. Conducted on the strength of Article 51 of the UN Charter pertaining to legitimate defense, Iran's military action was in response to the Zionist regime's aggression against our diplomatic premises in Damascus. The matter can be deemed concluded. However, this is after they bombed Israel, after they attacked them with the drones and missiles and everything. However, should the Israeli regime make another mistake, Iran's response will be considerably more severe. It is a conflict between Iran and the rogue Israeli regime from which the U.S. must stay away. Okay, so he's warning Biden, don't you interfere. Warning Biden, don't you interfere. And Biden's saying, have we had ice cream yet?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The whole reason that they just attacked is because Biden met with Netanyahu and basically said, we need to listen to the protesters in America that have the blue hair and say that we need a ceasefire. So you just need to back off now. And then Iran heard that and they're like, it's go time.
Yeah. And I'm going to wrap up the show with one statement. In my opinion, all of these wars, all of these attacks, they're all coming because who's running our country? This never would have happened. Four, five, 6 years ago.
Under President Trump.
No. Exactly. Never would have happened. And come November, a lot of this crap's going to be over with.
Yeah.
It's not going to make it.
So here's my final question, John. Not only would... I'm not going to ask, would this have happened under Trump? It clearly wouldn't have. Because Trump has a backbone. He's got a spine.
Yep.
He's not the one that says...
He would double dog dare them to.
He wouldn't say to Iran, don't.
Yeah. Right. He'd say, go ahead. I'm bored. Don't.
That's Biden's thing. Okay, here's the question. Israel took out seven terrorist military leaders of their enemy. in Damascus. They took out 7 military leaders. And Iran's response is to send hundreds of drones and missiles into Israel, what, against their airbase? Against their military base? No! Israel!
Yep.
To bomb and kill men, women, and children sure. who are Israeli civilians.
Typical Iran.
Why is nobody talking about that?
Brought to you by Pfizer.
All you hear brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, no kidding.
All you hear from CNN and these major news outlets is, oh, Iran, oh, Israel, they're a terrible regime and they're engaging in genocide and they kill all these. Wait a minute. They were attacked on October 7th. Men and women and children slaughtered by people coming out of Gaza. And yet they're the aggressors. Now, because they took out 7 military guys, now their men, women, and children are being attacked randomly and discriminately through these drones and missiles. Why aren't we hearing people say, they launched an attack against the civilians of Israel just because the Israeli military took out 7 military guys? How come we're not hearing that? Yeah. Anyway, you heard it here.
That's my question.
Well, the other thing that you're not hearing, too, is, I mean, it's... I wouldn't say it's like a success story, but they shot down like 99% of all of the crap that was being bombarded on them. I mean, talk about a military defense.
Yeah.
That's I mean, cloud clap to that.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. How about, there we go.
And, and Nancy Pelosi doesn't want us to have any part in restocking their defense weapons.
What does she have to do with anything anymore, right?
That should be the question of the day. Why is she even still there?
Thank you, David.
Thank you, John. My pleasure.
There you go. What you don't know can hurt you. I cannot wait for Hidden Agenda next Tuesday. By the way, our show today brought to you by Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%.
All right, go to gfbestsource.com at the bottom of the homepage. You can click the shield to order today, all right? Again, thank you, David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Paul, the producer, for sitting in today on Hidden Agenda. City Chatter, I believe, is coming on at 1 o'clock today. Find out what happened at the Grand Forks City Council meetings and more. It's always a very, very informative show. Make sure you check it out. Make sure to tune in. Make sure to like, share, tag, and follow us too, all right? You know, if you hit that notification bell on your smartphone, it dings every time we go on the air. And you won't be kicking yourself in the butt going, oh, darn it, I missed the show again, and I'll have to watch it tonight. And we all know the Grand Cities are grand. Grand Forks Best Source is giving them an identity again.